In our prayer this morning, we said, Father, your son honored Saint Martha by coming to her home as a guest. By her prayers, may we serve Christ and our brothers and sisters and be welcomed by you into heaven, our true home. There's a dimension of Martha, which is already in Luke, the text that we all, Martha, Martha, you're all disturbed by many things, one thing is necessary, which is a lovely text, as you know. John gives us another dimension of this same thing, and what you see here is a very active faith. A faith that moves people, moves Martha, you know, to activity, to movement, to service, and to profession of faith. Huh? Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She went out to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Nothing wrong with that. But watch Martha. She loves Jesus. She goes out to meet him. And she says to him, in faith, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Meaning, Lord, you have power over life and death. That's quite an act of faith. Can we make that? This is before Jesus died and rose. And she's saying, you have this power. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, now do you see this? Ask of God. They're just growing into a faith that Jesus shares God's identity. God will give you. Jesus answered her in the purest kind of statement of Jewish faith. Your brother will rise every day when the Jews pray still the 18 blessings. One of those is, blessed are you, O Lord our God, who give life to the dead. Think what our Lord prayed that every day, what he thought about. You know, blessed are you, O Lord. You see. And Martha answered him, yes, I know he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. And now Jesus makes a statement. I am the resurrection. What does that mean? I am the resurrection. I cause the resurrection. I'm the source of the resurrection. I'm the first fruits of the Father's plan. It means all of that. But because of who I am and my death on the cross and my resurrection, the Father raising me, as it says in Romans, he was raised by the glory of the Father. That kavod we've spoken about, that presence, that radiant, saving presence. Other places in Paul, that's identified with the Holy Spirit. You see, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then comes the question. Do you believe this? Well, why don't we all take a moment and pray? Do you believe this? Really, you know, it's not just routine. What saying here is something that if the world understood, it would change. Most of the sensuality, ambition, greed of the world is a fight against death. That's why the ads and the television are all a subtle antidote promising immortality. If they did it directly, nobody would pay any attention because they know that their whole life is a struggle and a resentment against death. Everybody knows that. That's the rage that's set loose at a heavy rock concert when people come out killing one another. That rage, which is not resolved. I am going to die. My life basically is meaningless. That's where people live, though they don't talk about it or think about it. That's why we got television to keep us occupied and ball games and liquor and sex and all sorts of things. But, you know, the basic drive behind all ads is you are immortal. Drive this Cadillac and you will live forever. Now, nobody would say that. I guess everybody would laugh very cynically, and you know, and they'd be very angry because that the ridiculousness of it would remind them of death. And but if you look at, you see, so the antidote, you see, is sex. You see, the drive toward that kind of pleasure, and even the reproduction, I'll live on in my children, but it's sex is the antidote to death. Well, of course it isn't. But that's why nearly all the ads have something to do with sexuality. It's not sex, it's death. All the big ad companies up there in Madison Avenue have a whole team of psychiatrists working there. How can we subliminally guarantee these people immortality if they'll just drink Budweiser? Well, you can't directly because it's foolish. But you can indirectly. You'll have status, you'll enjoy yourself, you'll learn. You see? Some of the old monks used to keep a skull on their desk, you know, and, hey, don't forget, you're going to die. That was not a bad idea. But here, you see, our Lord has just said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? If we really believe that, you see, then we're free of the fear of death. It says in the letter to the Hebrews, that our Lord, having taken flesh and blood, it's in chapter 2, I think verse 14, to free people from the fear of death, because the devil has kept the world in subjection through the fear of death. I mean, any kind of diminution is a harbinger of death, right? To get sick, to get fired, to get cut off in traffic, you see, just means I am not immortal. I am not. And so, how many people will sacrifice their morals rather than get fired? What a slavery. Now, the freedom is in the martyrs. No. The truth of Jesus Christ is more important. Martin Luther King used to say, you know, at a certain point in your life, you've got to have something you're willing to die for. Really. You know, we use that phrase, that cake is so good, I'm willing to die for it, or something, which is kind of stupid. But the notion, you see, do we have something we're willing to die for? Yeah. Jesus Christ, His love, His truth, you know, His mercy. Yeah, we're willing to die for that. I'm not afraid of death. So, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? If this were to really penetrate our psyche, there'd be much less hurt feelings. much less she said, he said sort of stuff. Because that's all diminution and a foretaste of death. And I'm so hurt because, whatever, you know. I wasn't invited to the party. So then she answers, "Yes, Lord." Now, when we come to communion today, let the Lord, "Do you believe this?" And say, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I'm so stupid, I'm so weak. Yes, I believe it. I want to renounce my poor, fragile, you know, self-centered ego and live." "I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. I have come to believe, Jesus, that right here in this bread and wine, you are the living, eternal Word of God. Come to feed me in my poor body and to sanctify this body and mind and emotions so that I will live forever." And John takes the confession of faith, which in the synoptic tradition is Peter's, and gives it to Martha. And he has a nice one for Peter, right? "To whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life." In chapter 6. But underneath this text, you see, is this vigorous faith confronting death. Now, I'm going to show you Martha, Mary, and all the crowd that's come from Jerusalem, that when I say I am the resurrection and the life, I'm not exaggerating. "Lazarus, come forth." After 4 days. What a mercy. Amen.